Great. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fail. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. June the 19th, 1971 is a date which is etched on my memory because that was the day that we got married, nearly 43 years ago. And we went outside after the service in this hall and we had the pictures taken. Now in those days you didn't go to exotic locations, you know, where the shrubs and all the rest were there. You just stood outside the church and you had your photograph taken. And I can remember now when the photographs came back from the photographers, there we were, my wife on my, this arm, wasn't it? Yeah, on this arm. No. Yeah, is that what? She was on one of my arms, I can't remember. There was my mum and dad, my grandparents, and there behind me was the church notice board. And there was this text, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. So that's why I remember this psalm, and it has an affection. But more seriously, I was visiting one of my customers just a couple of weeks ago. And I got there and she was so distraught. And I said, whatever's that happened? And she said, well, my son, who lives in America, he's going to India and he's flown into Heathrow and he's coming down for the weekend and then he's going back to Heathrow and flying out to India. So she was quite happy that she was going to see her son in his 50s. She said, I went in on the Sunday morning and I couldn't wake him up. And she said he'd had a brain hemorrhage. A helicopter came and landed in West Hill School and took him initially to QA and then they took him to the general. She's absolutely distraught, and you can imagine. Her son has regained consciousness and he can now feed himself and he can speak. He can't walk. And she was very distraught. This had only happened, literally two or three days before I arrived on the Friday. And as I went out, I just whispered in her ear, because she had other friends there. I said, Psalm 46. And she said, what? What? I said, Psalm 46. And when I went this week, she said, I've read it. I said, good, you keep reading it. We don't understand the things that happen to us, but we have a refuge in times of trouble. Now this psalm, it divides itself quite easily into three sections. We have the first section, which is verses 1 to 3, and we find there a place of refuge. And then in verses 4 to 7, we have a place where God dwells. And in the last verses 8 to 11, we have a place of rest, a place where God reigns, a place of security, a place of refuge. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Do you remember Frank Spencer? He often used to say, "Oh, Betty, I've had a spot of trouble." And I guess we all have a spot of trouble from time to time. It could be quite minor. Trouble getting up in the morning, trouble sleeping, trouble eating, walking, hearing, doing up our buttons, opening bottles. And that's a favourite. I often go to my customers and say, well, they've got the bottles already lined up, ones that they can't open. They say, "Will you open the bottles for me?" But perhaps we have deeper troubles. We might suffer from anxiety. Maybe there are things which distress us. Maybe there are times when we are really burdened down with grief. Maybe we get hassle from our neighbours, hassle from our family, hassle from our friends. We all get pain and sorrow. But it's comforting to know that the Bible has a lot to say about trouble. If you want to go home and look up in your concordance, you'll see a lot of verses about trouble. Most of them are in the Psalms, and some of them are to do with Job. Surprise, surprise, he was a man that was always in trouble. And Job 5 verse 7 says this, "Yet man is born to trouble as surely as the sparks fly up." And again in Job, "Man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He springs up like a flower and withers away like a fleeting shadow. He does not endure." And one in Proverbs 22 verse 8, "He who sows wickedness reaps trouble." There's definitely trouble in this passage. Look at verse 2 and 3. "Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging." Fancy opening your curtains tomorrow and seeing that. That would be trouble, wouldn't it? That's serious trouble. Now, we don't really know who the writer of this psalm is, but some have suggested that it's Hezekiah. And if we were to look at Isaiah 36 and 37 and then look into Kings and Chronicles, we would see that Hezekiah was in desperate trouble at one stage of his life. It was when Sennacherib, with his vast army of 185,000 men, had swept down from the north and conquered everything in his path. And now Sennacherib was laying siege to Jerusalem. And we read in Isaiah that he sends a letter to Hezekiah saying, basically, that Hezekiah was in a helpless situation and that God wouldn't help him. And we read that Hezekiah lays the letter before the Lord. He enlists the help of God and he enlists the help of Isaiah. And in a very miraculous way, God answers prayer. And the very next day, they awake to see that the angel of the Lord had slain the vast army of 185,000. Now that's help in time of trouble, isn't it? We'll never, I guess, experience that sort of trouble. But we all do have serious bouts of trouble. So how can we find help from these verses? God is, and God is there for us. Never forget that. Whatever circumstance you might be going through, whatever trouble that you're facing, God is, and God is there for us. Isaiah 45 says this, "For I am God, and there is none other." Psalm 86, "In the days of my trouble, I will call to you, for you will answer me. I suppose if you're like me, we do go to the Lord when we've got trouble. Mind you, we try to do a lot of other things, and prayer sometimes is the last resort. But I think we need to take note of just those first two words, God is. If you were to make a list of all that God is to you, or all that we find in the scriptures, here's just a few. God is almighty. God is great. God is all-seeing. God is merciful. God is loving. God is gracious. God is faithful. God is strength. God is power. God is compassionate. God is everlasting, forgiving, pardoning. And that's not even half the list that was in my concordance. And God is. So whatever the trouble is, whatever the situation, God is. God is the answer. John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And that's brought great comfort to many a person that's been grieving the loss of a loved one. But also it says God is a God of the present. We were hearing about that this morning. You know, the God of Jacob, I am. The God of Abraham. We were hearing it in the home this afternoon. God is a God of the present. Psalm 91. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. God is our refuge. When I wrote that down originally, it came out R-E-F-U-S-E. I thought, that don't look right. That means refuge, but it's refuge. Refuge is rubbish, isn't it? But God wants to deal with the refuse in our life, doesn't he? He wants to deal with our sin. But he is our refuge. He's our shelter from the storm, our harbour, our haven, our protection and our security. That's tremendous to know, isn't it? That we have a refuge. Remember in the Old Testament days that there were cities of refuge, and if somebody had committed murder accidentally, there were cities where these people could flee to, and they were protected. They could take refuge. So that's good news. God is a refuge. We were talking this afternoon about the Rock of Ages and how Augustus Toplady, he wrote that hymn, didn't he? And it was when he was sheltering from the storm in the cleft of the rock. And it was a refuge for him. But not only is God there, not only is he ever present, but he is our strength. And that's good news as we grow older. I know you folk, some of you folk are a lot older than me, but I used to laugh when my dad said, well, he couldn't twist this and he couldn't do that. But I'm finding now there are some things that I just cannot, you know, grip and do, you know, before I could, and it was done. Don't seem to have the strength in our hands or our arms or our legs. You know, the good news about God, he wants to be our might. He wants to be our backbone, our courage, our fortitude. He wants to be our strength. All in that verse, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. You see, God can help. You might say, well, I bring my troubles to God and I pray and I don't always get an answer. Well, join the club. I'm the same. But somehow, through bringing our troubles to the Lord, I don't know about you, but there comes a peace. You've got somebody that's sharing that trouble with you, and although you might not get a positive answer, you've got that peace about the situation. Billy texted us the other day and said, Dad, I'm thinking about changing my job. In fact, I'm coming down for an interview. The job's in Fareham. I think, he's only been up in Cambridge 18 months, and now he's looking for a job, and all the hassle it means that he has to, you know, his flat, which is up to, due to, the rental thing is only 3 years, so they've got to think about that. Joe's got to think about giving her notice in at school, and all. There's so many things that create it, and you think, Bill, why don't you just stay where you are? But of course, mums and dads can't sort of say things like they used to, can they? So I text back, and I said, Bill, make sure you have a peace about your decision. Make sure that whatever decision you both decide to do, make sure you're at peace. And I think that's one of the best signs of knowing God's will. If you're in a situation and you don't know what to do, you don't know which way to turn, yes, we have to push doors and do that. Do it. But only if you have a peace about that situation. If you're changing your jobs, or you're doing this or doing that, pray about it. And yeah, you make a decision in faith. If you've got peace about it, I think that's a good indication that God is there to help us. The psalmist says, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. Again in 107, then they cried to the Lord in their troubles, and he saved them from their distress. What a tremendous verse to give to somebody who is in dire trouble, desperate for help. God is. He's not a God of the past, he's a God of the present. He's our refuge. He's our strength and ever present. He's with us in the trouble. And it don't matter whether the mountains give way or the heart of the sea roars and all the rest of it. God is in that situation. Let's look at the next few verses. Verses 4 to 7. And we've been looking at God as our refuge, but in these verses we see that God is with us. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Verse 5, God is within her, she will not fail. Verse 7, the Lord Almighty is with us. God Emmanuel, God with us. Apparently Wesley's last words were these. He was waving his hands in triumph. That must be a wonderful thing to do, isn't it? The minute you take your last breath, it's like, it's great, it's great. And his last words were, the best of all, God is with us. That's tremendous, isn't it? In the day of departure, to know that God is with us, the angels are there ready to take us to glory, and to be able to say that God is with us. And that's the comfort of this psalm. Not only is he our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble, but he is with us. He's with us in those troubles. He's helping us. When God dwells with us, we have his presence and we have his peace. It's interesting to note in those first verses, we read about waters roaring and foaming, and we have a picture of tempest and upheaval. And I think it's probably a general rule that sea speaks about trouble and separation. But here in verse 4 we have not a sea, but we have a river whose streams make glad the city of God. It's a picture of peace and tranquility. It's not surprising that when we get to Revelation 21 and 22, there is no more sea. There's no tempest roaring. There's no separation. Sea separates continents, doesn't it? Thankfully, we're separated by the English Channel between us and Europe. A lot of people want to make it wider, but we are separated. And sea makes a lot of difference. It separates. But in the new heaven and the new earth, there will be no sea. There will be no turmoil. There will be no trouble. There will be no separation. But we do read that there will be a river. And in Revelation we find there's a river flowing, a river of life. And it talks about an abundance of fruit. And there's the tree of life. I think there's something quite relaxing actually sitting by a river and just feeling the tranquility. If we were to go into Ezekiel 47, that's something to look at when you go home. And it talks about, I don't quite understand it, but you read it. It talks about a river flowing from the sanctuary. And it says, it becomes a great river, providing abundance of fish and lined with fruit trees. That's something to have a look for yourself in Ezekiel 47. So in those verses, we find that God is with us, he's within us. He's there in the midst of us. And then finally, in those last verses, in verses 8 to 11, I think the message that comes over is the fact there is a place of rest. And not only is it a place of rest, be still and know that I am God, but there's a place of security. The last verse, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. But it's also a place where God reigns. Let's read those verses again in verse 8 through to 11. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. It's a place where God reigns. And that's what will happen when the new heaven and the new earth are created. We will reign with the Lord. There'll be no more separation. But there will be security. There will be peace. No more war. A place of rest. A place of security. It was Martin Luther that, during the Reformation and the fact that they were fighting, had arguments with the Roman Catholics and the High Church, and that's where we get the Reformation. They began to come out of all that. And he was up against a lot of opposition, so were all the other reformers in Europe. And he very much took this psalm to heart, and he wrote the hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he, amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing, for still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe, his craft and power ungreat, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. A mighty fortress is our God. It's tremendous, isn't it? A little psalm that we can take away, a little psalm that we can share with folk that are going through trouble, that are going through sorrow. A psalm which gives us hope, because if God is with us, if he's our saviour, then we do have the peace, and he will not fail, and he will give us the security, and he will be our fortress. Let's sing a hymn before we go into our communion. I said to the folks in Avon Park, I had two hymns that were on my mind. One was the Rock of Ages, and one was When Peace Like a River Flows. Which one would you like to sing? When Peace Like a River. I knew Joyce would choose that one. Right, so it's 757. It's good because we had God as our refuge at the home, all right? So we didn't want to sing it twice. 7:5-7. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Number 6.